Let me pray before we look again at this passage. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have spoken to us. And we pray that as we look again at Jonah 3, that you would open our ears and eyes and minds, that we may see and hear and understand. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would then believe in your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. He is known as the smiling assassin. Sometimes he's called the smiling bomber or the laughing bomber. He got that name from his smiling, unrepentant attitude towards his crimes. His full name is Ali Amrozi bin Haji Nurhasayim, though we would tend to know him as Amrozi. And he bought the explosives and the van used to blow up the Sari Club in Bali, where 202 people were killed, including 88 Australians, and just as many were injured, and many of them horribly. It is reported that Amrozi's only regret about the Bali bombing was that most of the Westerners who died were Australians rather than Americans. It seems he wanted to kill Americans but had to settle for Australians instead. I wonder if you, if you're a bit older, can remember the TV pictures of him smiling and waving at the cameras. And it seemed to make him, in the eyes of many, all the more evil. For he was Amrozi, the smiling assassin. I wonder, what does God think of Amrozi? Will he punish him for his heinous crimes? Or will he forgive Amrozi? Does God's grace extend to people who are as evil as that? Well, let's go to Jonah 3 and find out. Look at verse 1 again. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah is now, finally, belatedly, going on mission. And his mission is to proclaim the imminent destruction of the city of Nineveh. That is, that Nineveh is about to be destroyed. And the word overthrown here is the same word used for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we're talking about complete and utter destruction and devastation. And Jonah's message, therefore, is God will destroy you and your city in 40 days' time. Jonah's mission is to proclaim God's coming judgment on the city of Nineveh. And any Israelite of the time would have thought that that judgment was totally and absolutely just, completely deserved. For if anyone deserved punishment, if anyone deserved judgment, then it was the Assyrians of the city of Nineveh. And they had a long list of things that they could point to say that they deserved it. First of all, they were Gentiles who didn't worship the Lord, the God of Israel. Second, they were an aggressive, militaristic people who produced one of the most powerful and feared empires in the ancient Near East. And third, they're described even by their own king in verse 8 as having evil ways and violence. That's the guy who should be speaking about how wonderful they are. And even he recognizes how horrible they've been. But the most important reason why any Israelite of the day would think that this destruction is just is because they were the enemy. Israel was as close to Assyria and Nineveh as Australia is to both Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, and New Zealand. And if Israel was going to fight a war in the near future, it would be against the Assyrians of Nineveh. In fact, we know from history that's exactly what happened. And a short time after the book of Jonah is set, well, the Assyrians came and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel, killing many thousands and deporting many thousands into exile. And so if anyone deserves God's punishment, then in Israel's eyes, it would be the Assyrians of Nineveh. And in the same way today, we would think that no one deserves God's judgment more than Robert Mugabe or Osama bin Laden or Amrozi. They have each done great evil. They too are violent, murdering people. Murdering people who had done no harm to them whatsoever. They are people who deserve God's judgment, just like the Ninevites. And so God speaks through his prophet Jonah, and his message is one of judgment for the people of Nineveh. But how do the Ninevites respond to this message of judgment? Well, we see in verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. The people of Nineveh respond to God's message by repenting. And that repenting flows from verse 5 all the way down to verse 9. You can see there as you look up at the screen or as you look at your Bible at home, as you're listening online, you can see there all the things they go to do to show that they're serious in their repentance. The use of sackcloth and ashes was a common way in the ancient Near East to show that you were truly remorseful. It was a deliberate humbling of themselves. The Ninevites hear God's word and they humble themselves before him. And of course, this is the exact opposite of our friend Amrozi, where Amrozi had shown no remorse for his crimes. The people of Nineveh engage in genuine and costly repentance. They're not doing any smiling at all. In fact, they're doing the exact opposite. Their response to God's rebuke is as right as Amrozi's is wrong. And in one sense, this is the big difference between Nineveh and Amrozi. The people of Nineveh repent. The people of Amrozi doesn't. But what does it matter? Who cares that the Ninevites repent? Surely God will judge them anyway, because of all the horrible things that they have done. And it would be entirely just, entirely right. The answer is that God cares that they've repented. And we see that in verse 10. Have a look at verse 10 up on the screen. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. God's response is to withhold his destruction. He spares the city of Nineveh because of their repentant hearts. And so the judgment is averted, and the people of Nineveh are saved. Do you see the words compassion in there in verse 10? It's repeated in the next chapter in verse 2 as well. The fact that the Ninevites aren't destroyed is because of God's character. It's because of his compassion and grace that is so much a part of who he is. The Ninevites are spared not because they deserve to be let off. On the contrary, they deserve everything that was promised. They deserve to have the book thrown at them. They deserve the same as Sodom and Gomorrah. They are completely undeserving of this mercy from God. They deserve death, but God gives them life. Why? Well, the answer is found in the character of God. The Lord, the God of Israel, is a gracious and compassionate God. That is who he is. And so what we see here is God's grace to the evil. God's grace will be shown even to those who are palpably, demonstrably, famously evil. He doesn't just show grace to his people Israel. He's not just restricted to his servant Jonah, who, as we saw last chapter, received grace. And it's not restricted to us. God shows grace to the evil as well. Let's go back to our original questions. Does God's grace extend to those who are as evil as Amrozi? Well, based on this passage and others in the Bible, we'd have to say yes. Absolutely. God is willing to forgive Amrozi, the smiling assassin. And yet he hasn't. And he won't. Instead, he will punish Amrozi for his crimes with everlasting pain and suffering. Why? Well, the answer is in the difference between the Ninevites and Amrozi. It is because Amrozi is completely unrepentant. And from what I understand, he died that way as well. God shows grace to the evil, but not to the unrepentant. But we have to be prepared to say that God would have forgiven Amrozi if he had repented and put his trust in Jesus. There is no one so evil that they can't find forgiveness through Jesus. And I recognize that as I say those words, that it is a really hard saying, isn't it? If you've ever been on the receiving end of unspeakable evil, that is a very, very hard saying. It is hard and difficult for us to accept. For it is only natural to think of evil men like Robert Mugabe or Osama bin Laden or Amrozi as beyond redemption. But they're not. God's grace can extend even to the famously evil. If they repent and they trust in Jesus, they will be forgiven and escape God's punishment for all the evil things they've done. And although it is hard to accept, especially if, like Jonah, God shows grace to our enemies, there is also comfort for us in this as well. Comfort? How? Well, let's go to our other reading and we'll see just how. Come with me to 1 Timothy. We'll read chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Here Paul describes himself as the ancient Ambrose. He calls himself the worst of sinners, and he's not exaggerating in any way here. For Paul had jailed people and murdered people for talking about Jesus. And he'd done it in the name of God. Like the Ninevites, he was a violent and evil man. He was like an ancient Mugabe or Idi Amin. But after he believed in Jesus, he was shown mercy. God's grace to the worst of sinners. Why? Well, it's there for us in verse 16. Paul received grace so that Jesus might display his unlimited patience to those who believe. In other words, God makes an example of Paul so that we would know the depths of his mercy. That is, when we look at Paul and the mercy that was shown to him, we can know that we will receive mercy. For if Jesus can forgive Paul, despite everything he's done, he will definitely forgive us. Paul was saved in order to show that no one is beyond salvation. And that means that we can know for sure that we are forgiven and are saved as well. And friends, that's how we can receive comfort from God's grace to the evil. If they can be saved, if they can be forgiven, then we must be saved. We must be forgiven. And so God's grace extends to those even who are palpably evil, just like the Ninevites. If they respond to God's word in faith and repentance, they will be forgiven and saved from destruction. And rather than annoy us, this should actually comfort us. It should actually encourage us. It should make us smile ourselves rather than frown. For it shows just how sure and just how certain our forgiveness is and our salvation is. For if God could forgive them, he will certainly forgive us. God's grace to the evil should put a smile on the face of every believer. For it shows us again the great depths of God's grace towards us. So, friends, let me ask you the obvious question to ask at the end of all this. And that is, have you repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus? Have you, like the Apostle Paul, turned and begun to trust Jesus for life and death and everything? If you haven't, or if you're sitting here this morning or listening online, you're thinking, I'm really not sure, then let me say to you, don't leave it. Don't let it go. Do something about it today. If you have to ask questions, ask questions. If you have to look at more evidence for Jesus, look at more evidence. But if you know in your heart it's true, if you know deep down that Jesus did die for your sin and did rise to life again to give you hope for the next life, if you know that and you want to do something about it, then don't delay any longer. And if you need someone to walk you through it, then come and grab me. I'm more than happy to chat and help you. But don't leave it and do nothing. Friends, God's grace is there for anyone, no matter how evil they are, if we just repent and put our trust in Jesus. So let us take advantage of that. Let us access that ourselves, so that we too, like the Ninevites, can be forgiven and saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you that in your great mercy, you showed grace to those in the city of Nineveh all those years ago. We thank you that they repented and believed the message spoken by that reluctant prophet, Jonah, son of Amittai. And we thank you for the Apostle Paul, that he, though evil as he was, received grace so that we might know that we too can be forgiven through trusting in Jesus. And we pray that we who are here present today would all trust in Jesus and would all turn away from our sin and rely on his death for us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that after we have done so, that we would sing your praises and proclaim to a lost world the forgiveness that is there in Jesus for all who repent and believe. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'm aware that today may have brought some things up for you. I don't know of anyone who has a personal connection to what happened in Bali, but if that did, and if that's the case for you and it did, then please come and see me about that. I'm more than happy to chat you through things.